He's excited, Day of Pentecost. One person. Awesome. So I'm going to, I guess I better read the scripture, hey? And I have to apologize because I did give the ladies in the office the wrong scripture. I just gave them Acts 2:1, but it was supposed to go all the way to verse 5. So I'm just going to read it. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Let's pray. Thank you, Father God, Lord, for everything you're doing in our church. Lord, we are hungry for more of you. We need you. Lord, I pray that you would flood this place with your presence, and we pray that there would be a real awakening in our hearts, and that we would be filled, and that we would be overflowing in your Spirit. And we just ask that you would pour out your Spirit here this morning, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Woo! Excited. So if you're taking notes this morning, I don't really have like a title message because it's like Pentecost Sunday. So you can just call it Pentecost Sunday if you are taking notes. My Japanese friends, hello. Welcome. So Joel 2 says this, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. So I want to say here this morning, it doesn't matter how old or how young or whoever you are. The Holy Spirit is for everyone. And I'm believing if we ask the Holy Spirit to fill us, we're going to be filled here. I mean, who knows that if we ask God for something, he doesn't give us something bad, right? Jesus tells the parable of us. He says, do you think if you ask my Father for something good, he's going to give you like a snake or something? Obviously not. He's going to give us the Holy Spirit if we ask him here this morning. And who knows that there is such a hunger for the supernatural world. I mean, who's been to the movies recently? I mean, we're way past Harry Potter, right? I mean, I saw Avengers Infinity War. Who's seen it? Spoiler alert? No, I won't do a spoiler alert. If you haven't seen it, go and see it. It's a fantabulous... That was a weird... I made that word up. Fantastic movie. You should definitely see it. But seriously, if we think about it, people are actually really hungry for the supernatural. I mean, they go into movies. I mean, I don't know if anyone's into horror. Who's into horror movies? I'm not, because I can't sleep. It's too scary. But sometimes, I think we as the church have actually really shied away from the supernatural. We think like, tongues or prophecy, healings. It's a bit weird, right? Am I right? No, it's not weird? Yes, that's what I like to hear. You see, tongues is awesome though. It's a heavenly language, and the scripture tells us that when we don't actually know what to pray, that the Spirit intercedes on our behalf. So it connects us. But there's also the other end of the spectrum where people can actually become super obsessed with spiritual gifts, right? And I've actually met Christians who have said, you're not filled with the Holy Spirit because you don't speak in tongues. Oh boy. But you know, we can actually become so obsessed with the spiritual gifts that we actually forget the fruit We know what the fruit is, right? Love, joy, peace, patience. And Paul even talks about it. He says, I could have all the spiritual gifts. I could prophesy, see people healed, pray in tongues, interpret tongues. But if I do not have love, it's all pointless. It's gone really quiet. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? I can never tell. But the Bible also tells us we are to desire the spiritual gifts. And I believe we can be filled with the Spirit without being weird. I don't know if you've ever met a weird spirit-filled Christian. I don't know. It's a bit like I heard this analogy of going to Subway. Oh, I've just got to pray what I need to put on my Subway. You just need to decide what you want to put on your Subway, right? You don't need to pray about it. I don't know. Maybe you do. But you see, we are to desire the spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit. And why wouldn't we want to receive them? I mean, I would love to be able to have a word of knowledge for someone or to be able to prophesy and speak into someone's life because God loves that person. So God uses me to actually go and speak to that person. That would be amazing. And every believer has the Holy Spirit, right? And we actually have all of the Holy Spirit we'll ever need. And I think sometimes we think, oh, we've got to be filled with the Spirit, when actually being filled with the Spirit is actually quite simple, right? You got to ask yourself, okay, am I surrendered to God? Am I ready to follow His lead? If we do that every day, that's being filled with the Holy Spirit. If we're actually surrendering to Him every day. So, if we think about the early church, what did they have? I mean, the New Testament wasn't even written. They had the Holy Spirit, right? And I have to apologize here, because if you did come this morning thinking there was seven ways you could live your life full of the Spirit, I'm sorry, because I actually don't know if there's seven ways. See, the Holy Spirit is described as a wind, a fire, a river. I mean, imagine if I asked Lucy to go outside and I said, oh, can you just go catch the wind and bring it back in here? Come on. Okay, maybe you can, but it's pretty hard to describe. So I'm going to keep moving along. So on the day of Pentecost, right, it says they were in the upper room and they were together. And some translations actually say they were of one accord. So the Holy Spirit brings unity. See, what were they all doing in the upper room? They were seeking Jesus. They were waiting for the Holy Spirit. And I feel like this kind of ties into when I was up here last time talking about heaven's song, right? See, we as Christians should be united in singing heaven's song, worthy is the Lamb. And when I look around the church today, man, it's crazy, right? There's actually a lot of division. There's a lot of division, right? And I'm just going to come out and say this. It's okay, Peter's not here, but you know, we are. We're part of Uniting Church. I love Uniting Church, right? I love it. But sometimes it actually feels like we're all pulling in different directions, and it can often feel like there's not much uniting us because we're all busy singing our own songs. And instead of taking up our cross to follow after Jesus and making disciples in the world, we're divided about issues when we're actually called to be united. See, the Spirit of God brings unity. See, we're here to serve Jesus and to see His kingdom reign on earth. Amen? So they were in the upper room to seek God. They were letting go of themselves, surrendering to His will. And yeah, they didn't have liturgy. They didn't have the New Testament. And you know, we can become pretty precious about our man-made traditions. And actually, when you read through the book of Acts, what does it say? It says they moved from place to place meeting together. They weren't tied to a building. They didn't wait to get into a building and say, I'm coming to church. They were the church. They were meeting, moving around, meeting together. They were the church. They didn't need a building. So I want to put that out there. They were united through the Holy Spirit. And what does the Holy Spirit do? You ready for it? John 14, 26 says this. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. This is Jesus talking to the disciples. So the Holy Spirit connects us to Jesus. Simple as that. So the Spirit brings unity. We've got to be unified. We're here to serve Jesus. We're here to worship Him. And I want to... next scripture, ready? Acts 1:8, it says this. You will receive power. Everyone say power. Power. Come on. Power. Come on. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. That is awesome. I mean, who's read the book of Acts? I mean, who's on Netflix? There is like an awesome TV program, and I don't know what it's called, but it's about the apostles, and it's really cool. But man, think about what was happening in the book of Acts. There was miracles happening like every day. There was healings taking place every day. And there were so many healings going on and so much supernatural stuff that if we read in Acts chapter 5, it actually says the city of Jerusalem, they were bringing out people who were sick and lying them in the street in the hope that as Peter the apostle walked past, his shadow might fall on them and they might be healed. Now, it doesn't tell us whether they get healed, but I could only imagine like that something crazy must have been happening all through Jerusalem for people to actually start to bring their sick and lay them in the street. That's crazy, right? And it says every single person that was brought to the apostles was healed. Every single person. That's crazy, right? That's some supernatural crazy stuff. So my question is this. Where is that power in the church? Where is the power in us as believers and followers of Jesus, or have we become asleep? Because we have the Bible, we have the message, but sometimes it feels like we don't have the power. I'm thinking of a song, sorry, I'm distracted. You got the power. Okay, I'm gonna share an analogy with you, right? So it's like this. Just go with me, all right? A vacuum cleaner salesman knocks on your door. You open up politely because you're a polite Christian. Oh, hi, come in. And this guy with the vacuum cleaner is like, g'day. He's Australian, I don't know. I'd like to sell you this vacuum cleaner. It is the most amazing vacuum cleaner. It is so powerful that when you turn it on, if you leave your small kids like running around, it will suck them up. So put your little kids away, put all your precious things away, because this is a super powerful vacuum cleaner. It is crazy. Here's a pamphlet. And you're like, okay, I want to see the vacuum cleaner. Turn it on. And they don't even turn it on. Pamphlet. See, in the same way, we as Christians can say, here's the gospel. Here's Jesus. He loves you. He's here to set you free. He's here to heal you. He's here to deliver you. Come to church on Sunday. Yeah, see you later. Anyone? That's me. I do that all the time because I'm learning. It's gone dead quiet. Oh, what about this one, right? I've actually done this before. Someone's come up to me. I don't know, they've been sick or something. I was, oh, yeah, hi, how's it going? That's great. yeah, I'll pray for you later, and I never pray for them. Man, I know. But we need the Holy Spirit. Because if we actually want to do what God wants us to do, if we try to do that in our own natural strength, it's actually impossible. And we're actually in danger of burning out. We need the Holy Spirit. And I want to share this story with you, right? So let me ask you, who here, I mean, most of us drive, right? Except for the kids. I'd be surprised if you drive soon. But who knows one of those people who, as soon as the tank goes to 3/4, they're like, they pull over to the service station, oh, I've got to fill my tank up. Anyone? No one. I'm like that. I hate, like, if I go anywhere past half empty, I got to fill up. Okay, who knows one of those people who, once it starts quivering near empty, they're like, oh, it'll be all right. I'll just keep driving. We've still got another 100 Ks. Come on. Who is that? All right. Great. Now, let me ask you this. On a long journey, who would you rather be with? I mean, that's kind of living on the edge a little, right? Like, you're almost empty. So I want to tell a story, right? So in Perth, my dad's awesome. I love him. And we were driving through the city, and his tank was like almost empty. And I said, oh, Dad, we should probably fill up, you know, like we're going to run out of petrol. He's like, oh, it will be all right, Brody. So we keep driving. We pass the petrol station on the left. We go through the second set of lights. Then we come to this this bridge. And then we come under the bridge, and all of a sudden, what happens? The car dies. I was like, told you so. No, I didn't say that. So in the same way, our Christian lives are similar, right? I mean, imagine this. Like, imagine if you ran out of fuel and you're going through a desert. And I don't know, like, where everyone is at today, but, like, you know, there's seasons in life, and sometimes we are going through a desert, and if we're, like, almost empty on the Holy Spirit, who knows, it's pretty hard to, like, get out of that. We need to be filled up. We need to be filled up. So, and I'm not talking about, you know, you just put $10 in your little fuel tank and it goes up a little bit. And you're like, next time it goes to empty, I'll fill it up. Fill it up full. All right? You got to fill your tank up to full. Now, 2 Timothy 1:7 says this, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. I love this scripture. So let's back up there. So why does Paul write that to Timothy? So here's young Timothy. Maybe he's like me. I don't know. But he was young. So that's cool. So he was taken on a church at Ephesus. And Paul had to write to him to remind him, God has not given you a spirit of fear. And you know, there's so many forms of religion, and even in Christianity, that would say God is here to make you feel guilty and you should be afraid and fearful of him. That you ought to live your life in some kind of nervousness of whether you're actually accepted by God. And you have to confess your sins like all the time. And you need to beat yourself up inside and feel bad about all your guilt and shame. And you become so afraid of God. And somehow, we can often think that makes God happy. But that is a total lie. And actually, the only way we can please God, does anyone know the answer? It's a trick question, isn't it? Now, the only way we can please God is actually through faith. Hebrews says, we can only please God through faith. It's when we choose to believe the things of God that it's pleasing to Him. Now, hear me out. I'm not saying that it's wrong to confess your sins or repent. I mean, those things are really, really important. And when we do stuff up, we need to turn and we need to repent, yeah? But so many times we can actually become crippled with fear. And I don't know if you've ever thought like this, but I know I definitely have. I mean, I've often thought, oh man, I've stuffed up so much. How can God love me? I better say a prayer and confess my sins, every single one of them by name, and hopefully that will make me right with God. When in actual fact, the only thing that makes you right with God is your faith in Jesus Christ. And we had a great conversation not too long ago. I like to think of it like this. Jesus isn't forgiving you. He has forgiven you. All past, future, and present. It says this in 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made Him who knew no sin to become sin that we might become the righteousness of God. And the question is, do we believe that? So there's a great exchange taking place there. So God does not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And we can actually come boldly into His presence where we will find grace and mercy. See, it's a very different place to live knowing who you are in Jesus as opposed to chasing after who Jesus wants you to be. We need to believe who we are in Jesus, and the Holy Spirit helps us do that. See, when you know who you are in Jesus, you can hold your head high because you're a son and daughter of the Most High God and you're bought with a price, you're victorious. Or we can drag our feet along the ground, living in fear of making God angry. And we can become these timid, little, frightened Christians who are trying to please God through our own strength instead of being empowered by the Holy Spirit. So the Christian life, huh? Christian life isn't hard. It's impossible. Think about it. I mean, how are we supposed to love our enemies? God tells us to love our enemies. Oh, that person ripped me off. That person cut me off in traffic. But it's only through the Holy Spirit that we can do that. I mean, wouldn't it be an awesome thing, right? If miracles became the norm, if salvation and deliverance became the norm, prophetic insights and words of knowledge became the norm. Like, I'm praying that God would give us those gifts and that we would see heaven come to earth, because it is all about His kingdom. And I'm going to give you guys like one last demonstration. This really helped me when I saw it. So I'm going to ask Max to come and help me out here. All right, let's just move this all the way to the end. Yeah, let's put it up right there. Thank you. Welcome to Brody's cooking show. It's not actually a cooking show. Could be. Just ask Raina how good my cooking is. It's apparently really good. It's just like, it's rubbish. I actually need prayer for it later. All right. So, this is an analogy of the Holy Spirit. This is not real, if anyone's wondering. We're like vessels, right? So when we come to Jesus, all of our baggage, all of our sin, all of our guilt, all of our shame, right? We hand that over to Him. We become new creations. And when this happens, right, the Holy Spirit fills us up. Whoa, water. Holy Spirit, water. It's good. It's actually tap water. You know, so it's exciting, right? I mean, I know when I experienced coming to faith, I was just like over the moon, like everything was so awesome. I was like on top of the world, and that lasted for about like a month or something. Then stuff happens, right? And sometimes we can come to Christ and nothing really changes. We're still hanging out with the same crowd. I mean, all of our struggles remain. All of the sin we were living in is still kind of there. We still swear. We still might talk negatively towards others or our parents. I mean, we haven't really changed. You see, what happens is we often begin our Christian life like this, where the Holy Spirit has filled us. We're pure, we're clean. And then what starts to happen is a little bit of bitterness gets in. Doesn't look too bad, does it? Little bitterness. I've got to put it down for this one. Here's a good one. Little bit of self-righteousness. See, it looks like it's clear. But if you know what vinegar smells like, it stinks, right? I mean, you want people to know, oh, I'm okay, I'm going good, I'm cool. When really, you stink. Serious. This is getting really messy. This is great. Who can guess the next one? Anger. You guys get really angry, don't you? I do. I know I do. Anger. You guys ready for the next one? It's a beer. Whoever thought I'd open a beer in church, huh? It's okay, Peter's not here. You can send him an email. No, this represents all the addictions in life. All the stuff that keeps us from living our full life in Jesus, right? And then we have the really, really dark stuff. All the hatefulness. The adultery. Pornography. So, there we have it, right? Anyone want to drink this? Don't drink it. It's going to taste disgusting. It smells horrible. But see, now we're ready to go out and preach the gospel. We're filled up with the Spirit. Come on now. Like, I've met people. I used to be one of these people. Oh, my goodness. I used to go out and people would, they'd just be like, oh, Brody alert, quick, let's get out of here. It's true. See, that's what we can sometimes often end up like. And this is what people see when we're not actually continuously filled with the Holy Spirit. So, how do we get out of this then? Here we are in darkness, just our hearts are full of darkness. So we've got to do this, right? We've got to humble ourselves. We've got to ask the Holy Spirit to fill us afresh every day. So we start to pray, right? I
Help us, Holy Spirit. Help me, Holy Spirit. We spend time in His Word, soaking in His Word, getting to know who He calls us to be, getting to know Him. We spend time in worship, just soaking in His presence. Every day. So every day we keep praying, we keep believing. We just keep going. Thank you, God, for the day. Thank you that you give me strength. Thank you that I'm never alone. Thank you that you fill me every day, Lord. And we get back to this place of being filled with the Holy Spirit. But it doesn't stop there, right? We're supposed to be living out of a place of overflow. It just keeps coming. And once that overflow starts to happen, everybody we meet gets a sense of this overflow, and they start, wow, something's changed about your life. There's something different. What is that? They get curious, right? It's the Holy Spirit overflowing. And we got to live out of a place of overflow. And that's my prayer. That's the kind of Christian I want to be. I want to be so filled with the Holy Spirit that when I meet people, it's just flowing out of me, the love of God. So how do we do that? We have faith. It takes faith. We got to believe. In Ephesians 5, it says, we are to be filled. And that means to be continuously filled. Every day, continuously filled. I'm going to try and drink this now. Good, tastes like water again. I was afraid there was going to be vinegar or something disgusting in there, but it tastes good. So, thank you. So here's what I want to do this morning, right? I mean, I don't know where you're all at. I mean, because it's so easy to be running on empty, right? But we got to be filled up with the Holy Spirit. And I'd actually love to pray with you that the Holy Spirit would come and fill you. So if that is you, I'd love to just invite you forward to come down. We're going to sing Holy Spirit, and we're just going to seek God. And I'm not just talking to everyone. If you're a leader, because everybody needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be overflowing in Him. So we're going to sing Holy Spirit. And if that is you, I'd invite you to come to the front, and we're going to pray. Awesome.